Of John, I also want to take a minute to reflect on the Gospel of John. We call it this, the Gospel of John, even though his name doesn't appear throughout the Scripture. This original community that put together the Gospel gave it that name to give it a certain authority. That this is the story that was carried to them by John, who was a disciple of Jesus. And so it's been understood by many scholars, the traditional reading is that when you see the title, the beloved disciple, that was John, as a title of humility and pride to say, I'm not going to put my pen on here, but at the same time to recognize that Jesus loved him. So we're going to read this final passage. And as you do so, consider what Peter might have been thinking. It's really Peter who is talking. Again, we don't really see John talking or as the focus. He's just part of the conversation. And so, let's see. We begin at just finishing up where we left off last week. We had Peter's discussion with Jesus, where Jesus asked Peter to feed his sheep. And then we finish in verse 18, where Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, I tell you the truth. When you were young, you were able to do as you liked. You dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted to go. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and others will dress you and take you where you don't want to go. Jesus said this to him, to let him know by what kind of death he would glorify God. Then Jesus told him, follow me. Peter turned around and saw behind them the disciple Jesus loved, the one who had leaned over to Jesus during supper and asked, Lord, who will betray you? Peter asked Jesus, what about him, Lord? What's going to happen to him? Jesus replied, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? As for you, follow me. So the rumor spread among the community of believers that this disciple wouldn't die. But that isn't what Jesus said at all. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This disciple is the one who testifies to these events and has recorded them here. And we know that his account of these things is accurate. Jesus also did many other things. If they were all written down, I suppose the whole world could not contain the books that would be written. Here ends our reading. Treasure these words in your heart. I feel like we all have that person. For Peter, it was this beloved disciple. okay, so Jesus, this is what you're giving me and my lot in life. What about that person? That person doesn't really deserve, you know, as good as I have. You know, if I'm going to have it this bad, surely they're going to have it worse. And what does Jesus say back? What do you care? What does it matter to you? You think that person doesn't deserve it? That person doesn't deserve this thing that you really want? Well, I may give it to that person. That person who has when we have not. What does it matter, that person, whether they deserve it? As for you, follow me. Current scholars look at these texts and they aren't really concerned about what happened to this, quote, beloved disciple, as if this was one person. Other scholars have looked at it to say, you know, did this person ever really die? Were they talking literally? Was this someone that Jesus was then to actually physically keep alive? And current Presbyterian scholars look at it and say, there's something else here. When we see this gospel wasn't just written by one person. This was written by a community of people. Throughout the gospel, it says has the term we when the narrator talks. Even here, where in the last couple of verses, where it says this disciple is the one who testifies to these events. So there was this beloved disciple who testified to everything that happened. And then it says, and we know that his account of these things is accurate. And several times throughout the gospel this happens. It was a community of believers who testified to these events and testified to this truth of who Jesus was. So the question remains is, who is this beloved disciple? Was it one person? Or could the answer be that they left this term as the beloved disciple for you to have a way to enter into the story? You are the beloved disciple. Each one of us. Jesus loved each one of us so much, not because we deserve it or we did anything to earn Jesus' love or because we're better than so-and-so. Jesus invites us into this community, to Jesus' table, simply because Jesus loves us. And we were created by God and chosen by God. And so when we encounter one another in the world, we have this opportunity to not see ourselves as the only chosen ones, but to see our neighbors as invited to this table. Now, Jesus invites us all. If we truly believe that, then think of the last person that you think deserves to be at Jesus' table. Unfortunately, that person got an invitation. Now, that person may not come. That person may say, hey, that is the last place I want to be. But Jesus has invited that person. And I will say that I also think that Jesus protects us. So if that person is not safe for you to be sitting next to, I believe that Jesus will provide for your safety. So if there's that anything going through your mind in that way, Jesus does sometimes place us next to somebody that we don't want to sit next to. But that's a whole nother sermon. So I want you to continue thinking about this picture and think about who is at your table. How might we look in our community, see each person that we meet each day as someone Jesus has invited to be at that table? I was talking with RJ a few weeks ago about how he works with his students in school, and we were talking about an interview for today, and I said, well, what about you? Can I interview you? And he said, okay, so I'll invite RJ up, because we've been having this conversation of what does it look like to to really see each other in our daily lives, not just at worship, not just in our free time, but also in our work, to see the people that we encounter as capable of acting as part of the community and really caring for one another. So RJ, I don't know what you do on days that you're not here at church, but for those who don't know you as well, what do you do when you're not leading worship or here at the church?
Well, for those of you who don't know me already, I am currently the vocal music teacher at Anthony and Eisenhower Middle School here in Manhattan, Kansas. I teach 7th and 8th graders, so 12 to 14-year-olds, and it's all, mixed co-gender, so it's boys and girls, six times a day, three times a day, three times at each school, and I just teach them to sing. I teach them to be a part of an ensemble, be a part of something bigger than themselves, and along the way, try to give them, vocal technique, but more importantly, the thing that I got out of choir when I was younger, and the reason why I became a teacher, is because through choir, I was able to learn more about who I was as a person and who I should be and what path I should take in my life and in my journey to, be a person of faith and be a person of who loves, other people and accepts other people as who they are and as brothers and sisters in Christ.
So you were telling me specifically about an upcoming concert that some of the songs you do, it's not just about vocal technique, but really shaping the way they interact in the community, too. So tell us about this upcoming concert.
Well, once a year, for those of you who don't already know, there are three music teachers at these middle schools who travel. Myself, I'm the vocal music teacher. There's another gentleman named Cody Toll who does the orchestra at both of these schools and travels. And then there's also another teacher who does the band, and his name is Scott Freeby. All three of us are, very involved in the community in terms of what we do for music. But more importantly, we're all very involved with what we do with our faith as well, too. But each year, Mr. Freeby decides to write an original piece of music with both original music and with lyrics, and he tries to make it some kind of a multidisciplinary teaming project where we get the choir students, the band students, and the orchestra students to all perform with each other at the end of the year, because, throughout, most kids' public education, they may not get that opportunity to perform with, multiple ensembles at once, and it's a unique experience for us to be able to give them that opportunity. And so this year, one of our pieces is actually called A Man Called King is a Brother to Me, and you guessed it, it's a piece based off of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and Mr. Freeby took it upon himself to write it this last summer, and throughout that journey, he referenced a couple of his really most important speeches, including his speech at Washington, D.C. I believe there is one in Alabama, I think, Birmingham, I think, part of that speech was there. And then also one of his most final speeches, which I believe was in Tennessee, which I believe where he was assassinated. But through that piece, he was hoping to be able to not only teach the music aspect, but be cross-curricular, be able to teach a little bit of history, a little bit of culture, a little bit of, all those subjects that music already encompasses. But throughout that, throughout this process, we've been learning it throughout this semester, and we're going to perform it ultimately in the end of May. The bigger picture was, there's a stigma around middle school, and, the kids are finding themselves, they're figuring out who their friends are, they're figuring out what they're meant to do and what they like, all while trying to, fit in and be social, be academic, and be successful. And, some of their paths are a little bit more, long and difficult, and others, go right through and are just fine. But something that Dr. King really stressed during his speeches is that no matter who you meet in life, no matter what your differences are, what race, ethnicity, gender, sexual orientation, sexual identity, gender, anything like that, no matter what separates us, you need to see everyone not for that, but as a human being, another person who is deserving of life, who is deserving of happiness, you know, those unalienable rights that he spoke of in his speech, because that was not being given to the African-American community during the 1960s, and you know, he was a person who himself personally really struggled. He was beaten, he was, and he was imprisoned and jailed for reasons unknown, but throughout that entire time, he stayed true to that and his message, and that's what I try to teach my kids every day, is I do this little thing where it's not too terribly, you know, out there, but I greet each of my kids by handshake at the door when they come to my class, and I say, hey, how you doing? What's up today? And I call them by name. It's a way for me to, you know, again, make sure I have that personal connection with them, but also for me to tell them, I accept you as you are right now, today, no matter what. It's a new day. It's a new slate. No matter what's happened in the past, it's a way for me to greet you and to make you feel welcome into my class, no matter what. And some of the kids really latch onto that, and now some of us have our own like little weird handshakes or things that we do when we greet each other at the door, which is great. And others are kind of like, I don't know how I feel about, you know, handshaking my teacher just yet. You know, some of them, it's the way it is. But like, you know, all in all, I try to make sure that I make each student feel as welcome and as, you know, they can be who they are in my class. Because without that, it's how can we expect to teach them? How can we expect them to learn from us, right? Especially when what we do in the ensemble and in the music industry is we're trying to teach them, you know, to be able to be a part of something that's bigger than themselves in an ensemble. And so, you know, throughout the year, this is what I preach to them, preach to the choir the entire year. But now it's finally coming to fruition when we're performing this piece about Martin Luther King, because that's exactly what he was advocating for throughout his time. So it's actually a really cool, interesting piece, really, really fun, upbeat, soulful, spiritual. There's a couple surprises in there. And if any of you guys are at all interested in coming to listen, we'll have those concert dates at each school, because each school will be performing it. But if you, any of you all are interested, you can see me afterwards, and I'll give you the concert date and details. So.
Thank you, RJ. And thank you for the way you teach these young citizens. You know, we're making them not just just part of the community as if it's their, they don't have a role, but you're teaching them about what their role is in the community to help each other, to see themselves as part of this bigger picture of this community which cares for each other. So thank you for that. And I think you already answered our other question about what this has to do with your faith. Anything you want to add about how you see your faith as a part of what you're doing?
Well, essentially, there's a thing that we do here at the Light that I initially was like, I don't know exactly how I feel about this, but the more I thought about it in my free time, the more it made sense to me in my work. I was kind of alluding to the fact that when I greet each student by hand, you know, I'm telling them that I accept them for who they are, and that, you know, no matter what happens, you know, I'm still going to be your teacher, and I'm still going to treat you fairly, and I'm going to do my best to teach you. And what we do during the services here is at the beginning, we say, peace, my brother, peace, my sister. And at first that hit my mind, you know, a weird way, you know, that's the way we learn, you know, when new things are challenging and uncomfortable for us, especially for middle schoolers, when I try to teach them new things. But, you know, over time, you stick with it and you figure out the true meaning behind it and the true purpose. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that when I say, peace, my brother, peace, my sister, I'm accepting each and every person I meet here or impact here as who they are and as a person, a human being with value, with morals, with integrity, with, you know, their individual strengths and weaknesses. I accept them as who they are. And that transfers into how I try to view my kids on a daily basis, because some days are easier to do that than others, I'll tell you, and especially in middle school. But I try to keep that perspective and that mindset when I deal with my tough students and my students who need the most help, especially whether it's academically or emotionally or socially. They go through so much, especially during those middle school years. And if they can have a safe adult or someone that accepts them as who they are, weirdness, awfulness, and all, whatever you want to call it. I try to see them as, a human being with value, a fellow brother, a fellow sister in Christ. And that's something that's really stuck with me. So.
Well, RJ, thank you. We're going to say a special blessing right now as part of our closure and before we end our worship service. There, as our closure for the service, I want to invite you to look at your table that is, or Jesus' table that is right in front of you. Any of the people that you've imagined in those chairs, consider who they are. And we're going to say a blessing for each of us, a blessing for those who are sitting at your blue table here, and a blessing for those people on the table. I use this pattern in, our musicians, you can go ahead and take your place if you want. I use this pattern in my meditation where that it's used in meditation practices throughout the world, where you say the stream of, may I be well, may I be happy, may I be safe. And this self-compassion technique, you transfer it on to someone else. May this person be well, be happy, be safe. So today we're going to pray, we're going to add a little more into a prayer with the power of Jesus. So when you say, I say these phrases, consider it a prayer in your heart to Jesus, and we'll add on, may I be loved. So let us pray together. Lord, as we go out into this world, may each one of us be well. May we be happy. May we be safe. May we be loved. Lord, we lift up the other persons at our table. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be safe. May they be loved. Lord, we lift up those whose names we placed on the chairs at your table. We lift up those people who are different from us and also loved by you. May they be well. May they be happy. May they be safe. May they be loved. Amen. As we prepare to go out and let this light shine, please stand with us as we sing Shine, Jesus, Shine.